Warning, the podcast Under the Stairs is not safe for work. We'll feature movie spoilers and language which most listeners may find offensive. Brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode number 42. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. Bonus episode number 42 features Challenge Teapots June 2017 with a very simple task, slightly more arduous than last month's. I asked you, the listeners, to pick a horror director. Now I said hopefully you would pick a master of horror, but knowing that everyone would opt to go down the road of John Carpenter or Wes Craven, I quite liked the idea that some people started saying, you know what, can I do this guy instead? So what ended up being was different horror directors. You looked at their best movie, considered their best movie, and you looked at their worst movie, and you considered this your worst movie, and you reviewed them for the show. So coming up later on, we will rush through what you guys thought of different directors' best and worst, and why they're the best and worst. So we will be doing another Challenge Teapots next month, and every month from now on, next month will be far simpler, so hopefully we can get some more people involved. I did kind of spring this one with about 2 weeks' notice, and right in the middle of June, and to be fair, it was a lot of watching. Some people watched a lot of movies to decide what their best and worst were. Some people automatically knew. So we got, I think, about six different listeners submitted there. So we'll be covering them very shortly. A very quick update, though. This is a week of two Teapots episodes. Coming on Thursday this week will be the opening entry to our brand new franchise Russian Roulette series. We put it out to the vote. You guys chose, some people would say wisely, I would say poorly, that we should look at the franchise known as Hellraiser. So that is what we will be doing, ladies and gents. We will be looking at Hellraiser parts 1-9 with 9 guest hosts that were chosen from the mixing bowl of doom. Which is what we called it, because we can't use the Fruit Bowl of Doom because that's copyrighted by the Baz. But you guys left me with no choice but to put through some podcasters for a little bit of misery. So dropping on Thursday will be the first installment of that. We'll be looking at Hellraisers Part 1 through 3. And the following Monday will be Hellraisers Part 4 through 6. And then we will conclude it the following Monday with Hellraisers Part 7-9, and then we will never look at another Hellraiser movie again. Thanks very much, Witch. The Witch from The Witch versus the Doomsday Clock put forward that suggestion, but you motherfuckers all voted on it, so may you all rest in your own eternal box hell. That is my clan. So yeah, that'll be dropping on Thursday, and then the following two Mondays until that franchise is gone. On the way of the dodo. But I quite like the idea of carrying this segment forward. So in a couple of months' time, we'll look at some more dodgy franchises. We'll put the call out for some guest podcasters. We'll put them all in the hat, draw names out, and we'll see who gets landed with the better ones and who gets landed with the shitty ones. So yeah, tons of things like that happening. A quick update, the final installment of Baz v Leatherface will be coming sometime over the next month. There has been... To be fair, Baz has been fairly swamped. He's been off on paternity leave and he's about to start back work on condensed working hours, which means longer days for that man. I do not envy him at all. So we are kind of rescheduling and regrouping to try and get down and get the final three movies in the Leatherface franchise done for you guys. So keep your eyes peeled, they'll be coming soon. Also, it's worth noting, on Thursday, ladies and gents, we will be doing a Thursday, where I will announce the Teapot's top 10 for 2017. This is going to be huge, and I'm not just saying this to big this up. The scope of this particular project is going to infuriate. It's going to spark debate and conversation right across the board. It's going to be something, to the best of my knowledge, that has never been done on the size of this before. But we're going to have a lot of fun with it, so keep your eyes peeled for that and that special announcement coming. So this is going to be a fairly short episode, thank fuck, because the rest of the next couple of weeks are going to be dominated by a long-running Hellraiser episode. So let's bring this one in nice and say that this is the end of this first segment. I'm going to take a short break and be promos for shows that I love when I come back. It is Challenge Teapots June 2017. I'll be right back right after this.
Hello?
Hello, who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
I think you've got the wrong number.
Do I?
I'm gonna hang up.
Wait, don't hang up. What's that noise?
Popcorn?
You're making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn when I listen to podcasts.
I'm about to listen to a podcast.
Oh really? Which one?
Probably the podcast on Haunted Hill.
Is that the one with the two guys with the beards?
Yeah, Dan and Gav. Most episodes, they look at two different horror movies. Each episode, they look at a world of the strange, where they look at weird things from around the world. Sometimes, they even do special episodes where they look at different genres or directors' discographies and talk about them.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Maybe.
So where can I find the podcast on Haunted Hill?
Well, you can go to legionpodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, or just go into iTunes and search for the podcast on Haunted Hill. So, are you going to ask me out?
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.KrugerNation.com.
Oh, good God, a butthole casserole! And welcome back. So, yeah, let's do this. Challenge Teapots, June 2017. Pick a director, preferably a master of horror, and I want you to review their best and worst, and tell me why this is their best and this is their worst. Right, so the very first one to come in was from Jamie Miskell. She went with a slightly unorthodox choice, but to be honest, once I started reading into it, I was like, that she put probably more thought than a lot of people would into this, so I'm kind of chuffed that we went down this road. Plus, it's not the one you would automatically go to either, but I'm with what she was saying. I kind of still say that he's certainly genre, some of his movies certainly cover the horror elements, so it felt good to have this one in. Jamie says, I'm not sure if my choice fits horror director icon challenge because he doesn't do what you would call a full-blown horror movie, but his movies do have horror movie elements. I picked Tim Burton. I've always been drawn to his movies if it's dark and gloomy with the grey and toned down colours, or bright movies that are slightly off and quirky. My favourite movie attached to his name is The Nightmare Before Christmas, and is as a producer of the movie and not a director. I have went to see my second favourite, Beetlejuice. Now I'm going to pull a Hail Ming Power Hour and do my reasons why I watch this movie. 1. The soundtrack, Danny Elfman music, enough said. 2. Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice. His acting is so over the top and he brings such charisma and dirtiness to the role, it's amazing. 3. The closet scene where Barbara is hanging there and rips off her face. At first you think they see her, but no, it's the size of the closet that actually scares them. They push her out the way like an ugly old outfit. 4. The dinner party calypso procession with the shrimp heads. Every time I hear "Deo," I think of this movie. 5. All the wonderful ghosts in the underworld. 6. the face stretching scene with Barbara and Adam. I had a toy with her mouth pulled all the way open and her eyes and tongue hanging out. 7. The Beetlejuice snake when he attacks the Deets. 8. The final act with the exorcism and when Beetlejuice takes care of business. 9. Beetlejuice and the waiting room when he ends up trying to sell the voodoo man's number and ends up with a shrinking head. 10. Sandworms. I could probably go on about all the great stuff in this movie, but those were some of the highlights. Now, as far as his worst movie goes, 2 popped into my head off the bat. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Dark Shadows. I chose Dark Shadows. Don't get me wrong, Johnny Depp in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a very disturbing character, and there's no way in hell I would let him go near kids. Overall, Dark Shadows seems like a worse movie to me, based on the TV show that ran from 1966 to 1971, which I might add I never watched, so that might be why I don't get it, as well as some of the others who have seen it. On the TV show, each episode can focus on a character and slowly add their story to the mix. This was like we had to have all the stories in there, and spoilers, the character is a werewolf, this character has a ghost guardian, this person is someone lost, love, reincarnated, this person is a sea creature who falls for Pete. I'm hoping all this stuff was on the show, because if not, then Timothy, you dropped the ball. I think with a more original story or twists and plot, it would have been better. I know he was trying to pay homage to the show he liked growing up, and even having Jonathan Fred, who was the original Barnabas in the show, do a cameo. This is the reason why I feel this is Tim Burton's worst film. I know there may be a couple of your listeners that think I am bananas, but before you light your torches and sharpen your pitchforks, I want to put it out there that I haven't seen all of his films. So if anyone can think of another film that's worse, then please let me know. I'm willing to change my opinion. Okay, I am finished this time. Thank you very much, Jamie, for that one. Burton, for me, best film. I really like Ed Wood. I don't know. Beetlejuice is up there for me, certainly. I'm a big fan of Edward Scissorhands, even though it's definitely not horror. And I very much love Sleepy Hollow. As his worst film goes, I would probably opt for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I really, really didn't like that movie. But then I didn't like his Alice in Wonderland movie either. And I have certainly not been out to check out his sequel to that movie, nor will I ever. He did that Peregrine's kids movie thing, I think, as well recently. And I actually really liked that one. That was quite disturbing. It like had a darkness about it which I was not used to seeing in a kids movie. So yeah, I think that's where we opt for that. Interesting choice though. I don't think he's one of those directors we haven't really touched on podcasts under the stairs, because he feels like he always taps into that horror without necessarily being lumped in as a horror director. So I think that was a good one to choose. So there we go. Next one comes in from Gorelord84. Now I kind of feel like I should know who Gorelord84 is, and I can't remember. So feel free to shout at me like vehemently on the Facebook group page. That is my fault. But they chose a really good one, and one that's very close to my heart. The director challenge, they chose Terence Fisher. Says, best, The Mummy. I've always thought the Hammer Mummy series was equal to the Universal one, and that's in part to the awesome first entry. Cushing and Lee are at the top of their game. The fine gothic sets and actions are in the grandest Hammer traditions, and with a far greater pace here than the original. This movie moves along at a fun pace overall. Allowing the cliches from the Universal sequels into a fun take on the storyline all helps this one tremendously, and Fisher's smooth, easy tempo make this one more underrated. Underappreciated remakes out there. It's a 4.5 out of 5. His worst movie, The Two Faces of Dr. Jekyll. Overall, there's just not a whole lot to care about this one. One of his biggest problems here is that there is a changeover into a new personality which doesn't bring out any reason to fear him. He looks like himself without facial hair and lacks of the old age wrinkles, or just is an ordinary man. In fact, several times he's shown to be knocked out or manhandled with extreme ease, and it's really only minor details about what he wants his friends to do that inspires any sort of terror. The last half really picks up some action, but it's a misstep overall. 2 out of 5. I love The Mummy, the Hammer version, and I would agree, I think Cushing and Lee are just, at that time, it's just vintage performances. They're just like rock stars at that point. I have never seen the two faces of Dr. Jekyll, so I can't make comment on that. You kind of sold it to me. I kind of want to check it out now, just to see if it is as bad as you think it is. But thank you very much, Glord84. Up next is an audio clip submitted by our good buddy, Myron Schmidt. Let's see what Myron has to say.
Hey, Duncan. It's Myron. Hope all is well across the pond. So the dude that I looked at was a gentleman by the name of Brad Anderson. What I did is I went and looked at all the people who directed Masters of Horror episode for the Showtime series and picked one I'd never, well, thought I'd never heard of. The films I decided to watch, because he's done everything. He does a lot of TV, romantic comedy, thriller, horror stuff. But I watched Session 9, The Machinist, The Call, Trans-Siberian, and Vanishing on 7th Street. Quite a collection. Everything from just kind of a goofy thriller in The Call to straight horror in Session 9. What I liked best from this guy's catalog is Session 9. It's a great movie. Great tension, good story, good ending. It's really got a little bit of everything. Very, very good movie. It's a well put together story, well put together film. The Cell and Trans-Siberian are kind of more thriller than horror, I guess. I mean, there certainly is aspects of horror in both of them. You know, one of them's got a little bit of torture, one of them's got a kidnapping and a killing with some serial killers, and you know, and The Machinist is, you know, that's pretty flat-out horror stuff. But after watching all of these and kind of excluding just the more thriller types, Vanishing on 7th Street was the one I liked the least. It really started out good. I mean, you get through Act 1 and Act 2, and it's very well-done story, very well-acted. Gets a little tedious in the middle. But then as we move toward the ending, as you like to say, it shit the bed. I don't think the ending was, you know, they built a lot of action, and then, you know, in the last few scenes, it's just like, oh, you built all this up for this? Well, this just doesn't, you know, it just didn't work for me personally. You know, maybe some people love the ending. I don't know. I'm glad I watched it. It's not a horrible movie, but if you look at, you know, Anderson's straight horror stuff, definitely Vanishing on 7th Street is the least of his horror offerings. And I think that's just mainly due to the ending. Session 9 is certainly the best of his work, even that I watched. And Vanishing on 7th Street, just that ending. It, again, great build up, decent characters, little tedious in the middle, but that sometimes happens when you know, talking about, you know, movies where folks have, you know, disappeared and there's monsters. You know, that can kind of happen because you get in the siege aspect of it. But they just, you know, once they built up all this stuff and established all these characters, and then just nothing. You know, the ending was just so flat. It was like, really? You know, the ending reminded me of, God, what was that movie? The really horrible one. The Happening. Almost has a very similar ending to The Happening, and it's just, really? But anyways, that's my thoughts. I figured it was a good place to start on the Masters of Horror discs to pick one. I guess I tried to go a little non-obvious, if that's even a word, for the selection. Folks may disagree, but that's my thoughts. Talk to you soon. Bye.
And thank you very much for that submission, Myron Schmidt. I love Session 9. Anyone that has ever listened to podcasts under the stairs over the years know of my huge love for that movie. I think it is woefully underrated. I think it's one of those movies which came out to little or no fanfare at all, but is just a really, really well-made psychological horror movie in the grand traditions. I was surprised actually when this was your choice, because I had realised that there were certain movies that this director had done that I had seen but hadn't attributed to him. So I did not know that he was the guy that had done The Machinist at all. Did not know that. So that was an interesting surprise to me. I know he's done quite a lot of TV stuff, which I have seen, including his work on The Killing, the American remake of that show, which is it was a TV show that I love dearly. I have never seen The Vanishing on 7th Street at all. I might actually check it out just to see where it is that he starts to lose his bite, because Session 9 and The Machinist feel like really strong entries. Whilst, you know, the Session 9 is definitely a horror movie and The Machine is maybe less horror, but certainly it's given me food for thought to check out. So thank you very much for submitting that, Myron. Right, we're going to take another break on this show. When we return, we're going to close out with the last of our submissions for the Challenge Teapots June 2017. I will be right back right after this.
Hello and welcome to Hello, This is the Doom Show. I'm Richard.
And I hate the burning.
Sheesh, who are you? Speak.
And I'm Brad.
She came in and said, bark, bark, bark. And he said, bark, bark, bark. And she said, bark, 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 bark. That's what I got.
One is the Suspiria boner. The other is the Inferno boner.
Which one is crying? The boner of tears.
Hello, This is the Doomed Show is available on hellodoomedshow.podomatic.com and doomedmoviethon.com.
Hello, hello, this is the Doomed Show. Richard, Brad, Jeffrey, Naffa.
It's the Doomed Show.
Hello,
hello,
this is the Doomed Show.
welcome back. So let's continue on. This is Challenge Teapots. Our good buddy Gavin Taylor dropped us in one, and he picked John Carpenter. After me saying everyone don't pick John Carpenter, I was expecting a couple of folk to pick John Carpenter. When the submissions came through, I started to realise that no one had picked John Carpenter, and actually started to get like a little bit panicky. But Gav stepped up, he took the hit, and he put forward John Carpenter. And here we go. Let's see what Gav says. It says John Carpenter's best and worst. The Thing. The Thing is not only my favourite Carpenter movie, it's my favourite horror movie of all time. You and me both, Gav. You and me. It's like one mind. It's truly a masterpiece. The bleak settings create a real sense of dread, which is accompanied beautifully by a stellar score. The visual effects are truly jaw-dropping and still hold up to this day. This was the first movie I really got an appreciation for practical effects. Kurt Russell is top-notch in the lead role and supported by an excellent cast. Two scenes that I would always cite as the reason for it being my favourite films are one, the blood test scene, which has so much dread and tension, and two, the chest-opening spider head scene. Still the most what-the-fuck moment in any movie ever. I could go on for hours gushing over this film, but I'll try and keep it short. So in conclusion, this is the perfect movie from start to finish. As his worst movie, he has picked, controversially in my book, I think you're going to have a lot of people agree with you, Ghosts of Mars. I cannot connect with this movie in any way. I found the story boring, characters unlikable, and the bad guys pretty underwhelming. The set design looks cheap, and the constant flashbacks are tiresome. Natasha Henstridge is a flat board and Ice Cube is just laughable. Surprisingly, the only thing I really liked from this movie was Jason Statham. He's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, but he is no right being in this film. A very peculiar casting choice. My one word review for this movie would be meh. There you go. The Thing is my favourite Carpenter movie. Everyone knows that. I think it's the best horror movie ever made. So me and you are on point with that one. I actually have a soft spot for Ghosts of Mars. I think you already know that. I don't think it's as bad as people overtly say it is. And over time, I've grown to like it more and more. I wasn't sold in it when I first saw it. It's definitely not my least favourite Carpenter movie. I don't really like his Invisible Man movie. Or his Village of the Damned remake at all. I think they're pretty bad, if I'm being honest. So, but yeah, that's a very good one. Thank you very much for picking Carpenter. Like I say, I told everyone to try and be diverse about it, and then no one picked him. And I was like, what the fuck is going on, people? Do not let me down, people. Bring it back, people. So I'm glad that you did. Thank you very much, Gab, for sending that in. Okay, Verbal Cat submitted one. I think this one will blow the heads and minds of many people. she says, sorry for sending this one under the wire. This one came in, I think, still in time. I think the time difference was pretty good. She says, my picks were Fulci's House by the Cemetery and Don't Torture a Duckling. She goes on to say, my favourite continues to be Don't Torture a Duckling. The effective and restrained special effects, the social commentary and the sheer honesty of the story make it an essential Fulci for me. The chick dying at the side of the road leaves me gutted. As our worst movie, well, you guessed, it's House by the Cemetery, a recent addition to my viewing resume, falls flat on the bottom. I could enjoy the cheesy story, the Shelley Duvall vibe from the mum, the suspicious husband, but Bob. The one unforgivable sin was the kinda happy end for Bob. The lack of Bob chunks all over the top special effect kills it for me. But being the bottom of the list is hardly the worst place a film could find itself. It still could be looking up Twilight's arse. There you go. Yeah, once again, thanks for sending that in, Verbal Cat. You know fine well, my love of Don't Torture a Duckling, it has no bins. I think it's arguably Fulci's best. I think it's the one that people tend to look over because it doesn't have the zombie stuff in it, doesn't have the supernatural stuff in it. I think as Jallies go, I think it's just an incredible movie that has so much emotional weight. I can't side with you on House by the Cemetery, but the only reason I can't side with you on House by the Cemetery is I think there's only like two Fulci horror movies that I've never seen, and they are right towards the end of his career. Go back and listen to some of the Fulci conversations that myself, Jeff X Martin and Doug Tilley did, and you'll hear us talk about some of the later ones, which are really bad. However, I am 100% on point with you. Bob is just one of the most annoying characters in cinema, and the fact that he doesn't get run over by some sort of tractor several times and then hung up and then picked to death by birds, already understanding that he is dead but resurrected then picked to death by birds, is one of those things that I constantly feel is a missed opportunity. So thanks for sending that in, a verbal cat. Next up is our good buddy Lee Russell. Lee Russell does the Must Be Destroyed on Sight podcast. He's a former guest of the show. He submitted in an audio clip. Let's see what Lee has to say.
Duncan McLeish, you've laid down the challenge, sir, and I am answering. The T-Puts challenge. You wanted us to list a horror director, a master of horror, and you wanted us to pick their very best film, their very worst film, and tell people why. And of course, there's going to be a lot of obvious directors picked here. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a John Carpenter person. There's going to be a Tobe Hooper person, maybe a Wes Craven person. So that's why I looked back, not too far back, but definitely way back before those gentlemen. And I went with Terrence Fisher, the renowned director of Hammer Studios, who did the bulk of the horror films that were shot for Hammer. I picked him because I think he's a true pioneer of modern horror films. Before Night of the Living Dead became what is widely considered one of the definite modern horror films, if not the definite turning point to modern horror, Terrence Fisher took the old Universal horror films and brought them into a modern age with some modern sensibilities to them. So I'm going to mention his best one first, which is The Curse of Frankenstein from 1957. I think most people would probably remember The Horror of Dracula much better from 58, but this is my personal favorite here, The Curse of Frankenstein. It's one of the best horror movies of the 1950s, as far as I'm concerned. Horror of Dracula also has that going for it. This is the film that elevated Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee into renowned superstardom. It also typecast them horribly, of course, but it is what brought them into the public eye a lot more. This sort of set the blueprint for what he would do in his subsequent films. He brought some more blood and sexuality into the sort of universal monsters, made them more relevant to the time period, made them a bit more salacious and interesting. No sexuality really in The Curse of Frankenstein, but once you started getting into the Dracula movies, you definitely saw it, and once you got into the subsequent Frankenstein films, that you see some of it come out. Shot in Technicolor, it looks absolutely beautiful. The blues, the reds that Fisher uses here are amazing. I think a lot of people don't consider him an auteur, and I think that's incorrect, because he definitely had some interesting themes and motifs flowing through all of his films. He was a very religious man. I am not, but I do appreciate the ideas he does put into this. A lot of his films for Hammer, they show a tendency to go towards the authority of good and the ability of good and Christian goodness, specifically to defeat evil. You have a lot of crosses, burning vampires, and things like that. And Fisher himself just had this very unflashy, workman-like style, very restrained in the way he told his stories. He let the actors come to the forefront in his films and bring their characters to life, and let them drive the story more than any sort of visual tricks. Like, he wasn't doing those cheap extreme close-ups, like quick pull-ins to bloody hands and wounds and oozing goo and shit like that. He didn't do that sort of flashy, gimmicky stuff. He definitely kept his shots a bit wider, and he just let the sets, the colors, the acting build the suspense and the dread in the films. So The Curse of Frankenstein, I think, is his best one. It gives you Peter Cushing, it gives you Christopher Lee, it gives you an incredibly just impressive physical performance from Christopher Lee here. He'd also do it in The Mummy as well. You get this film series that is more focused on Dr. Frankenstein himself than it is any of his monsters. And it's very interesting. You have this story of this sort of disappointed father who is rejecting his son. His son being the monster never asked to be created and is more of a pitiful creature. You can have some sympathy for, but you can't really have sympathy for Peter Cushing because he's actually an amoral bastard who has no problem letting people die in order for his work to be achieved. Now, as for the worst film by Terrence Fisher, and this is a tricky one because I don't think he really made a bad horror film. He made some dodgy ones, and we'll talk about one here, and that would be Night of the Big Heat, or better known as Island of the Burning Dead from 1967. And I think what makes this his worst film is not that it's particularly terrible in any major regard. It's just kind of boring. And it's derivative of two other films he made. And these are all sort of science fiction horror films that he made. He made a minor trilogy of them, I guess. And it's only kind of a thematic trilogy. It's not a real intended trilogy. But he also made The Earth Dies Screaming and Island of Terror, which all sort of revolve around this idea of a small group of people in an isolated place being menaced by this unknown terror. The Island of Terror is probably the best example of pulling this concept off, and it's a concept that you would often see in Doctor Who from that time period as well. And Island of Terror boasts really good special effects and really great performances and a sense of fun to it as well, whereas Night of the Big Heat / Island of the Burning Dead is just kind of dry and boring, and the special effects, some of them, they probably wouldn't even look all that great on a Doctor Who episode of that period. And Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing are in this film, yet they can't really spice it up either with their performances. So if that tells you anything, it's really the material he's working with here that isn't all that great. That's probably where there's a deficiency in Terrence Fisher's style, where he was not flashy and gimmicky. This film could have used some of those things, but it doesn't have it, and it just doesn't have the script or anything interesting really going on except for a bunch of English melodrama centered around people drinking in a pub and talking about what the hell is going on in this film. The film, by the way, is basically this isolated island off the coast of Britain that, despite it being one of the coldest winters ever everywhere else, this island is just blazing hot, and it's getting hotter and hotter, and people are dropping dead from the heat, and they have to discover what's causing this big heat wave. And it turns out it's an alien invasion force of some sort, and the aliens are really, they look terrible. They're just kind of these jellyfish things that don't look good at all. And yeah, again, not a great film, and probably the lesser of Fisher's work. I haven't seen every Fisher horror film, but I can't see any of them getting quite as bad as this. I don't think he had it in him to make a bad horror film due to, you know, any deficiency in his talents. It's usually the material he had to work with, whether it worked or not. So, there you go. Hope you liked it, Duncan. Hope I did not go on too long here, and I look forward to seeing and hearing other people's entries into this contest. Cheers. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much, Lee, for submitting that. And so there you go. I tell people, no doubling up on Carpenter. Don't pick the obvious ones. And then you get two Terrence Fisher ones. What are the odds? Now, Lee will know if he's checked the back catalogue that when I did my top 10 Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price series 2 years ago, The Curse of Frankenstein was in my top 10 Christopher Lee performances. I think he is absolutely wonderful in the movie. I think the movie is fucking great. One of the best Hammer horror movies, in my humble opinion. I have never seen Night of the Big Heat, and I did a bit of reading into this after you mentioned it, and once again, very much like the previous suggestion for Terrence Fisher, I'm compelled to check it out, so I will probably give that a little look and then come back and let you know what I made of that one in the fullness of time. Lee, thanks very much for submitting in that audio clip. Which brings us to our final clip of the show, the final entry in the Teapots Challenge Series of June 2017. The last one comes in from the host of the Psycho Semantic Cast, is our good buddy Darren Wilson. Darren said,
"Hey Duncan, it's your buddy Darren over at the Psycho Semantic Podcast. Wasn't sure who to go with on the Masters of Horror, so I went with a bit of a local celebrity from around these parts called Wes Craven. He grew up maybe an hour's drive from where I'm sitting right now, recording this. It may be a controversial pick, but for his best movie, I went with A Nightmare on Elm Street. It's just like everything came together for Craven right there. Now, he's made some shitty movies, and I understand he gets a pass and a little bit more credit from me because we're from around the same area, but it's hard to argue that A Nightmare on Elm Street isn't a great movie. There's the whole dying in your dreams, dying for real, the helplessness. There's the atavistic fear of being torn apart by claws that's just buried in our fucking lizard brain. Not lizard people like Alex Jones is always warning us about. I mean, what doesn't make this movie great? The ending kind of sucks, but we all know about that. But I mean, there's really good practical effects. There's Tina's see-through nightgown in the beginning. There's realistic teenager relationships. You know, there's the whole idea of overprotective parents might just end up getting their kids killed. It came out in the 80s when it seemed like here in America, everybody was just starting to find out about the whole missing children thing. And it really tapped into a lot of fears. It might also be a controversial choice, but I think his worst movie was A Vampire in Brooklyn. Now, I hate to speak ill of the dead, but he's not listening. So it was kind of like Wes Craven took leftover characters from Coming to America and just said, hey, there's a vampire. I mean, he spent time living and working in New York when he was young, and the perception I got from the movie was that he had never been there. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze level of groanful puns. Put a little heart into it, comes to mind. There's really shitty New York accents, especially from Dolores from Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Eddie Murphy's Italian guy, hey yo, what are you doing? I'm walking over here, kind of stuff. And it was a fantasy comedy horror that wasn't fantastic, funny, or scary. And I will never watch it again, no matter how hot Angela Bassett is. So I hope this was right for the challenge.
And thanks very much to Darren Wilson. Wes Craven. I mean, I may have heard of the man. I may have named my show after one of his movies, potentially. Thank you very much for picking up Wes Craven and submitting him in. Interesting choices, Darren. People know that I like Nightmare on Elm Street. It's not... I prefer the second one over the first one, and I prefer the third one over both. Which may have some people spitting their tea out, but that's where I land in that one. But it's difficult to argue the importance of A Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't particularly like Vampire in Brooklyn either, so I can't even defend Vampire in Brooklyn at all. I know some people actually quite like the goofy humour, but I think as a comedy it's not funny enough, and as a horror movie it's not scary enough. So as a horror comedy it fails in two counts. I would argue that it's not his best movie, though, by submitting Cursed from 2005 and saying, re-examine that one. That one is a piece of shit. And while you're at it, My Soul to Take, equally piece of shit, was his second last movie, and it was pretty clear that by then the ideas were gone. Not the ability, just the ideas were not there. So thank you very much for everyone who submitted into the podcast Under the Stairs their selection on this Teapots challenge for the listeners of June 2017. You guys made this one a riot. Thank you very much for doing that, and I look forward to hearing all the submissions on next month's bonus episode where we do Challenge Teapots July 2017. Right, so I'm taking my last break of the show. I'm going to relax, chill out a little bit, get myself a glass of water because it is fucking roasting in Scotland today. I hate heat. So the weather right now is killing me, and it is Father's Day after all, so I should chill out a little bit more. But when I return, I'm going to close out the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode number 42. This is Challenge Teapots June 2017, where you, the listeners, submitted your entries into our challenge section. The question was, submit the best and worst movie by a master of horror or another horror director that you want to talk about and tell us why it's the best movie and why it's the worst movie. Thank you very much for partaking in that. Now, like I said at the start of the show, this is a double Teapots week, which means on Thursday you get your proper numbered episode. Now that will be kicking off our very first horror franchise Russian Roulette series. I had to take a deep breath before saying that, very much like Jim Carrey explaining something if he was Ace Ventura and he had a long sentence to say out in one breath without taking a breath to get, make sure that the points were over to you so everyone understood where we were going without that one single breath, without pausing or taking any like minutes to work out exactly where he was going with next. So when that one breath runs out and he starts talking like this. So yeah, that's what we're doing. With part one, we're tackling Hellraisers 1 through 3. Then the following Monday, Hellraisers 4 through 6. And then the Monday after that, we'll close it out with part 7 through 9. It's an arduous, ominous task that I have to thank you guys out there for putting me through. Thanks for that one. But hopefully I will be able to share the misery with some unlucky co-hosts who had their names drawn from the hat and landed with some of the dodgier titles. At least we get to talk about some of the better ones in the front end, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that'll be dropping on Thursday, so keep your eyes peeled for that, ladies and gents. Right, as always, there is a number of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. If you're checking us out on Apple Podcasts, then please subscribe to the feed. That way you get the new episodes as when they drop, and you also have access to the entire back catalogue. Whilst you're subscribing, please review us and rate us. It takes seconds to do. It doesn't cost you anything. It means the world to us. And if it was 5 stars, for example, the more of them we get, the higher up the iTunes charts ratings were pushed for more people who are searching Apple Podcasts to find a podcast they can listen to. Of course, word of mouth is always important, so suggest us and recommend us to your friends or anyone that's looking to listen to another horror movie review podcast. The podcast Under the Stairs can also be found on Stitcher Smart Radio. It can be also listened to on SoundCloud. It can be checked out on TuneIn, and it can now be found on Google Play. So a multitude of different mechanisms and apps out there to check the podcast out. Find the one that works for you and go over and subscribe to our feeds. You can check us out on Facebook. Join our fantastic Facebook group page. It's facebook.com/groups/tpodcast. We are also on the twin prongs of social media sexiness, adminned by the Baz on Twitter and Instagram. Both can be followed at tpodcast. So there you go. So, this has been a great episode. Thank you very much for all those that partook in getting in touch with me. I'd just like to give a special shout out to Duncan and Bo. Go to Twin Peaks. We are rampaging with great velocity through that that second series. The episodes are getting longer, but I like to think the content is getting goofier and funnier, so hopefully you're enjoying that. If you've not had a chance and you want to get into Twin Peaks, then check out our shows along with the show. Hopefully you'll have a lot of fun and it'll get you through some of the more tawdry moments out there. But yeah, that is a big shout out. I also want to mention that Legion Podcast Network has dropped a brand new show exclusive only to the Legion Podcast feed. Bo is bringing you your horror hangover. It's recorded every Saturday and I believe also released every Saturday. I may be wrong, Bo might want to correct me on that at a later date. And we'll feature Bo, hosting a show with two hosts from Legion Podcast Network, mostly to promote what they are doing, catch up with what's happening on the network, as well as discuss things in horror news and other bits and bobs. So the only way you can check that out is to subscribe exclusively to Legion Podcast Network, wherever good podcasts are filmed. That's a horror hangover. Right, I'm going to jump out of here. I will speak to you in a couple of days, ladies and gents. We will return with a little bit of Hellraiser ready to tear your soul apart. I kind of hate myself for saying that as well. But until the next time I speak to you, wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and whatever the time zone is in your little corner of the world, this is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from under the stairs, and I'm signing off.